options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
Welcome to Healing the Grieving Heart with your host, the mother-daughter team of Dr. Gloria Horsley and Dr. Heidi Horsley. Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi have devoted their lives to helping individuals move forward after a profound loss, and each week share stories of hope and understanding. They dedicate their show to their son and brother Scott and to others who have lost loved ones. Now join Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi and share the journey from grief and loss to hope and renewal.
Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Each week, Heidi and I welcome you to Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and conversation with those who suffered the loss of a loved one and for healthcare professionals who work in this most difficult field. And always the message is, others have been there before you and made it. You can too. You need not walk alone. If you're listening to our Thursday live internet show, please join Heidi, me, and our guests on the show by calling our toll-free number 1-866-472-5792 with questions or comments regarding the losses in your life. These shows are archived on the griefblog.com as well as the compassionatefriends.org websites, and all shows can be downloaded on iTunes and transcripts can be accessed on the griefblog.com. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. Well, good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Mom.
We've got some great guests today, and it's going to be really interesting because we have Chris Mulligan on, who has written the Afterlife Agreements, A Gift from Beyond, and then we have, kind of as a counterpoint, you might say, a Dr. Hugh Cole Jr., and he is a minister, and he has written Good Morning. And so Chris is more into, both of them I would say are into the healing and spiritual aspects, but Chris is more in connection with communicating with your loved one, and Alan's more in kind of the biblical and the Bible and praying and kind of, so there's an interesting counterpoint, isn't it, Heidi, or?
Absolutely, and I think both, there's so many positive things to both. And some people go more into the spiritual, and some people like more of the science.
Right, and so they're going to be a nice contrast for each other. Mm-hmm. Well, Heidi, I want to talk a little bit this morning. We just got some of our numbers from our wonderful webmaster, Chris Conlon, and we're really happy to say that the Open to Hope Foundation, which is our goal in the foundation, is to help people who suffered loss, give them information on the Internet and help them to deal with the loss of loved ones. And we're happy to see that our numbers for the whole foundation and for the things that we're doing, we have blogs, we have the, you can go to thegriefblog.com, you can go to the Open to Hope Foundation site where we're getting many authors writing for us, aren't we, Heidi?
Yeah, they're great, and they're on a variety of topics.
And if you go to the bottom of the foundation, the Open to Hope Foundation, you can see the blogs that we're starting up, and you can hit on those. But I'm happy to say that our numbers this month have surpassed 80,000 people who are coming into our site. So we're very happy about that, aren't we?
Absolutely. And I guess I also wanted to say, if anybody that's listening knows people out there that don't know that this is a resource, please let them know, because we don't want anyone that's grieving to feel like they're alone in the world.
Absolutely. And so if you know professionals that you work with or that you see, if you could give them information about the show, that would be a wonderful thing. Or if you have friends, I always take a card with me. I was actually at a funeral yesterday and was able to give some information to the family there. So hopefully you'll be able to spread the word about the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Heidi, it's time to start the show today, and why don't you introduce our first guest?
Sure, I'd love to. Our first guest today is Chris Mulligan, and our topic is afterlife agreements. Chris Mulligan lost her son, Zach, in 2000. Zach's death was a life-changing event that drew her to believe that she had chosen to design her own life plan. This philosophy has helped Chris to accept as a gift her trials and tribulations. Chris is the author of Afterlife Agreements, A Gift from Beyond. Welcome to the show, Chris.
Hi, I'm glad to be here.
It's great to have you on. Now, tell us a little bit about your background, and then we'll talk a little bit about Zach.
Okay. Well, first of all, I have a bachelor's degree in psychology. I've always been involved and loved learning about people, how they work and how the brain works. And then my master's degree was in clinical child, youth, and family work, which was a counseling program that worked with at-risk kids and families. So I ended up as a social worker and have probably over about 24 years in working with various populations from the Oregon State Hospital geriatrics to child abuse victims. And in the last 8 years, specifically, it's been in adoptions. So I really thought I knew all about grief and loss, you know, because it was from a clinical perspective. But when I lost ACT, that all went out the door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that was in 2000?
Yes.
8 years ago. Could you tell us about Zach and about what happened?
Okay. Zach was in a car accident. He died from head injuries that he received in a single car accident, and that was on October 1st, 2000. He was 21 years old. He was on life support for 12 hours until all family members could get there because the doctors had allowed us to choose the time when we would remove the life support.
Wow, tough decision that I know a lot of our audience out there has had to do.
Mm-hmm. It was. It obviously the most difficult thing I've ever done in my entire life. Hope never to have to go through an experience like that again. But where I am now, I'm grateful for what happened after this long of a time of being able to see what could come from that.
Now, tell me, I know you... we're going to be talking about your afterlife agreements in your book. Were you a spiritual person before he died? Did you have those kinds of feelings of connecting with the other side, or was this new with him?
Well, with him, it changed my beliefs. I had very strong beliefs before I had my children. My oldest son was 4 years older than Zach, and so my mom and I had gotten into attending past life seminars and reading lots about the afterlife and joined an Edgar Cayce support group and education group. And so I truly believed that the soul was eternal and that we had life lessons to learn, and that was for our spiritual growth, and that these lessons we charted ourselves before coming into this life. And so that's why I believed there were no coincidences, there were no accidents in life, and that everything happened for a reason. And every life event, every person I met, every experience I had a purpose because I chose it. I chose all these events and people that came into my life to learn these lessons that I played.
And were you able to have that belief right after Zach died? Or did it take a while for you to feel that way around his death? Because I hear people saying that it's very hard for them to believe that this was meant for a reason or that this was supposed to happen in some way, especially in the first, you know, year or two.
Okay. I had those very strong beliefs most all of my adult life, but I have to admit, I left that hospital that day, and everything I knew, everything I believed, and everything I thought to be true was left right there at the admittance desk. My life was turned inside out and upside down. I didn't know what I believed. I just knew my son was gone. And so, yes, it made me question everything, you know, because my beliefs weren't tested. You know, I had these very strong beliefs, but now I had to live without my son. Totally different process.
And you talk in your book, The Afterlife Agreements, A Gift from Beyond, about constant crying and compartmentalizing, going to work and coming home and falling apart and, you know, all those things that we, you know, we do after that loss.
Absolutely. These beliefs had gone, they'd been compartmentalized too. And it was just to be able to get through every single day all of those emotional and physical reactions I had to deal with. All the beliefs had been left someplace else. They had to come later on.
And how long after Zach died did you begin to see signs?
Okay. This was holding on to a belief. I wanted to believe that he was going to give me a sign. So I placed a bowl of M&Ms. This was my Shure's M&Ms, I wanted him to move them for me. And so they sat on our kitchen counter. I wanted them to be on the floor. I wanted them to be on the counter. I wanted him to move them for me, mm-hmm. but he didn't. Mm-hmm. So within about 3 weeks, though, I noticed a cow sun catcher. And we had bought this cow sun catcher that had Amish country on the backside. And from the moment I hung it, it always, the writing was on the outside. But what I noticed is as I was sitting there, I would come home and I would cry every night after work. And I would sit there and I realized the cow sun catcher turned around so that I could read it. Mm. And then it started moving around and around. I slowly realized this happened every time I cried. This was his first sign to me. The cows were a joke between he and I. So, of course, that meant something to me, that it would be a cow piece of paraphernalia that we have lots of around our house, that he would give me a sign through a cow.
Mm-hmm. And so that found your meaning for you. I think one of the things that you talk about in the book is to notice, and I think that's what you're talking about now, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
To notice what's around.
Absolutely. That's what happened after that. I started looking for things that were symbolic of his and my relationship. He started moving pictures in the house, and they would be the cow pictures as well as family pictures. I would see bells moving in the house when there was nothing going on, the air conditioner, the heat, nothing was moving it. They just started moving.
And you're talking about pictures moving. I mean, you're not talking about them trading places. You're just talking about them moving on.
They'd be crooked on the wall.
Crooked on the wall, yeah. Jane Greer, when we had her on, Heidi, she talked a little bit about lights going on and off and things like that, didn't she?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And it reminds me of an email that I have, Mom. I'm going to share it quickly. It says...
You know what? Let's read that to us after when we come back from break, because it's almost time for us to go to break. So one thing I just wanted to mention, we've got just a second. I wanted to just say something about the therapist sent you a card right after Zach died. And I loved what the therapist said. Do you remember from the book?
He was saying that he hoped that soon Zach might come to me in dreams.
I thought that was a really insightful thing, and I'm sure it did happen, right?
It did, yeah.
And we'll talk about that. We'll let Heidi read the email and also talk about that dream. But, Heidi, I love the fact that a therapist would be sensitive enough to suggest something like that.
Absolutely.
I was real fortunate to have two wonderful therapists in my life, and I will readily admit that I needed them. They were wonderful when I needed them, and they're still my friends.
That's great. Well, we're coming up on break. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, and please stay tuned to hear more from our guest, Chris Mulligan, about afterlife agreements. You can reach us through our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Open to Hope Foundation site. If you'd like to join us today on the show, you can call us at 1-866-472-5792, or you can email us about these and upcoming shows. Heidi and I really enjoy getting your emails, particularly when you hear we're going to have a show on. It's wonderful to have emails come in that we can address on the show, so please keep that up too. So stay tuned to hear more from Chris Mulligan.
A healthy dialogue for your lifestyle. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Hello, Doctors Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Who are we? What really matters? Is it possible to find true happiness after a great loss? The answers to some of life's most important questions are explored in Space Between Breaths, a powerful, uplifting film which looks at the potential in grief and to the ways it can become a motivational, transformational force in our lives. Featuring conversations with parents who have lost a child, including those whose loved ones died at Columbine on September 11th, and a mother whose son was one of the first U.S. soldiers to die in Iraq. Space Between Breaths offers an inspired and healing perspective on loss, which will transform the way you live and love. For information on ordering the film, visit the website www.spacebetweenbreaths.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mother, Dr. Gloria, and we're talking today with Chris Mulligan about afterlife agreements. Welcome back to the show, Chris and Gloria.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, Chris, when we went to break, I was saying a little something about dream that your therapist sent a card after your son Zach was killed in an automobile accident in 2000, and he had said something about you might have a dream, which Heidi tells me kind of fits into the email that we've received also. So Heidi, why don't you give us that email?
Okay, this email is from Freddie in St. Charles, Missouri, and it says, "Dear Chris, I do not have any religious beliefs and I do not believe in an afterlife. However, since my son John's death, I desperately want reassurance that my son is okay. Can you give me some tips about how to find signs or visit with him when I'm dreaming?"
Oh, okay. It takes almost a little while before you can. I believe that very beginning of grief, you are so heavy into it that you need to get a little way through your grief before you can actually have these dreams and trust that's what it is.
Okay.
There's a difference between dreams and visits. Now, dreams, you can dream about your loved one, but a visit is when they are in the dream, and you wake up knowing that it's totally different than just a dream. You have a sense that you were with them, that you felt them. It's almost like a little break from your grief in that you have a sense that you experience that loved one again. But I do believe that it takes a little while, a few months at least, for you to be in that place where you can open yourself up to...
And can you do things, Chris, like before you go to bed, really focus on that person that you love and call them to you while you're dreaming?
Yes. You have to ask for a sign. You have to ask for them to visit you. You have to open yourself up.
And also, Chris, didn't you say that you say in your book also, and I just want to make sure that I say something about your book before we come to the end of the show, and that's The Afterlife Agreements, A Gift from Beyond by Chris Mulligan. And, Chris, how would people get your book?
It's on all the online bookstores.
So you can get it through Amazon.
Amazon, Barnes & Noble.
And we have it on our website. And it's got a lot. It's filled with information about Chris's own experience, and then she weaves in experiences for you. How you can notice if you're a person who wants to notice for signs. And I wanted to get to page 130, particularly because in this it says that Zach, who is your son that died, conveyed to me that he would like to have these kind of comments out there for people on how they can receive signs. And I wondered if we don't have time to kind of read them all, so you'll want to go into it, but you'll want to buy the book. But one of the things it says here is the signs are there. You know, I find dimes all the time. I haven't quite figured out what that's all about. But when I'm really needy, I seem to find them around.
And they know that. They know when you need a sign. And so they will leave coins. They'll make sure that a radio station has the appropriate...
A certain song, right?
There'll be rainbows or birds or lights turning on and off. There are lots of different signs that are personal signs. You know, Zach wouldn't have moved tools for me. He did for his friends because they would have recognized that. But it wouldn't have had anything to do with him and me and our relationship.
And I know in here it says that you should be aware and watch and trust your sense. You know, I didn't keep a journal. One of the lovely things about this book, Chris has journaled a lot, so you kind of go on her journey with her. But I think there were a lot of signs for me, but when you're in heavy grief, you notice them at the moment, mm-hmm. and then you kind of let them go. So journaling is kind of nice because you can go back and look.
That's what was very helpful to me. The fact that I was in heavy grief or a heavy feeling at that month, at that time, that's what I needed to do. But I would be able to have a history after a while. I could look back. I could see I'm not in the same place as I was several months ago. Or I'm recycling this feeling again. What's going on? So although it was a feeling journey, I could always look. I could look at it from a cognitive perspective too.
And not everybody gets it either. You know, when you have something you think is really profound, they're like, "No, yeah, right." So sometimes you just have to hold your profound moments and
right.
hold them for yourself,
or share them with somebody else that has signs and it is open to those.
Yeah,
and that fits into finding people. Like people that you can work with. Talk about trusting your animals, your pets, because Heidi, you were talking about pets, right?
Pets and small children. My three-year-old has actually had times where she sees her grandfather, and she says she can't believe I can't see him. And, you know, she's only 3 1/2, and it's been really strange for me, but I just allow her to have her experience.
Oh, that's wonderful. Children usually after about 5 or 6, they lose that, and that's because they start believing parental beliefs, and
mm-hmm.
they don't trust what they are seeing. My grandson has played with Zach, and he
mm-hmm.
talked about him moving his trucks and his toys and things like that,
mm-hmm.
and he described him. So
right.
It does happen. My dog, we got this dog about, it was several months after Zach died, but she always lets us know when he's here. She'll stare at a corner. She'll growl. You know, she will do something to let us know that he's around.
And
in fact, I heard a dog in my building crying and saying goodbye to its owner and, you know, getting really excited one day. And the owner came out and I said, "Wow, your dog is really going to miss you." And he looked at me and said, "What are you talking about?" And I said, "Well, I heard him in there." He goes, "My dog is dead."
Oh, wow.
And I said, "You know what? I heard a dog in there." So, I mean, it was interesting. I heard him saying goodbye.
Yeah, you know, I went to a funeral actually yesterday, and I was talking to the young lady who found her mother died of a coronary embolism, and she said, that I said, "It must have been a shock for you to find her," and she said, "Yes, and my little daughter was with me, who was about 6. She said, "But you know what? I called and nobody was home, and my daughter said, 'I hope Grandma's not dead.'"
Wow.
So, and, you know, and the woman died. So totally unpredictably. So children are amazing.
They are. They're perceptive.
Yeah.
And I love where you say in here that we are with you. You just have to be aware.
Mm-hmm.
Which is so sweet, thinking that, as you said, your philosophy, that we're really never without them, right?
They're always right there. It's us who don't recognize it. And I surely understand. Like I said, it took quite a few months for me to trust what was happening, and that was one thing that Zach repetitively said, trust. That was a message to his brother. He needed to trust that what he was getting was what was real, and that he is there with him.
Now, his brother, Tyler, is quite in touch with all this with you, but your husband's not so much, right?
He was one of those real skeptics until I waited several months
to tell him about the conversation.
This is your husband?
Yes, and he was wonderful because when I told him that Zach said, tell him I'm saving a place for him, he looked at me, his eyes widened, he was dumbfounded. But that was in response to the last thing that he whispered in his ear before we removed his life support.
Now he feels that there may be a connection, but he is not as invested in it as you are, would you say? I mean, it seems to me that maybe you have a mission to keep that connection very strong so you can help others. But not everybody needs to keep it that strong, I would think.
No. He's a believer now. There have been too many things that have made sense. He also had his experience where Zach gave him a sign to say goodbye. And so he is a believer now, but you're right. This is what I hope to do. I would love to help people not only with their grief, but also understanding that they don't leave us. They're still here. It's just a different way. I can't hug him anymore, but I still can have a different relationship with him.
And what would you suggest to people? I'm sitting here now, and I'm thinking now, what could I very first do?
Okay. In the grief, what I had to do is I had to make a decision about living. I was going through the emotional and the physical responses so strongly, although I was still having the signs from Zach. You know, I was getting the signs, and I was having this overwhelming pain. But I had to make a decision about my life. I had to live. I believe Zach was dead. I'm alive. I have to keep living. So due to that, my epiphany was I had to change me. I had to, through my ongoing acceptance, I had to recognize that this was a blessing, that I had him still in my life. And I equated it to like a handbag. You know, I had this handbag full of rocks that my life was just getting so weighted down. But I realized after I made that, had that epiphany and made that decision, that my purse was lightening. That handbag was getting full more of gifts.
It was. And that was how long after he had died did you have that epiphany?
That was in June. And
he died, how long would that have been?
That was in October, so it was about 8-9 months.
Mm-hmm. And people have different times when they reach that moment of deciding that they're going to,
right.
Absolutely, going to make it.
Because everybody's grief is so different.
Well, it's time for us to close the show, but to end this segment, but I'd highly recommend that you get Chris Mulligan's book, The Afterlife Agreements, A Gift from Beyond. Chris, are you open to having people email you?
Oh, you bet. I just started a blog, and I'm really excited about it, and so I'd love for people to write back about their experiences. I'd be happy to start responding to those. I'd love to start a forum about it.
Okay, give us your blog.
Okay, it's blogger.com, and it's Afterlife Books, and that's the same as my, there's a link from the blog and a link from the website that goes to either one. And
okay, well, hopefully we'll get it on the grief blog, and you can put a link to us on yours.
Okay.
And hopefully we hear that you're going to write for us, too, which we're very excited about. So thank you so much for being on the show, Chris.
Oh, thanks, Chris. I was happy to be here.
It's time for our break, and we want to thank Chris Mulligan for being on our show. And please stay tuned for our next segment when our guest will be Dr. Alan Cole, and we'll be discussing getting through your grief. You can reach us through thegriefblog.com. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. Please stay tuned for more.
Opinions, options, answers. Voice America Health and Wellness.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010. That's 877-969-0010.
800-273-0010 to order a set or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Who are we? What really matters? Is it possible to find true happiness after a great loss? The answers to some of life's most important questions are explored in Space Between Breaths, a powerful, uplifting film which looks at the potential in grief and to the ways it can become a motivational, transformational force in our lives. Featuring conversations with parents who have lost a child, including those whose loved ones died at Columbine on September 11th, and a mother whose son was one of the first U.S. soldiers to die in Iraq. Space Between Breaths offers an inspired and healing perspective on loss, which will transform the way you live and love. For information on ordering the film, visit the website www.spacebetweenbreaths.com.
Your life, your health, your network. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi on Healing the Grieving Heart.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. I'm Dr. Heidi with my mom, Dr. Gloria. And today on our second segment, we are going to talk about getting through your grief with Dr. Alan Cole. Dr. Alan Cole is a professor of pastoral care at Austin Presbyterian Theological Seminary and author of Good Mourning, Getting Through Your Grief. Dr. Cole has helped hundreds of people go through the mourning process. He believes in staying active and engaged when dealing with loss. Welcome to the show, Alan.
Thank you. I'm happy to be with you.
It's great. Can we call you Alan?
Please.
Now, tell us what made you decide to write this book. I love it. It's got a big sunflower on the front, and it's a wonderful book.
Well, thank you. For the last 5 years, I've been a professor in a seminary, but before that, I was a pastor for the better part of 9 years, and many of my experiences as a pastor somehow related to loss and grief, and on many occasions I had people ask me to suggest a book for them to read, as some people find it helpful to read a book as part of their own grief process, and thought about it for several years and finally put some thoughts and experiences together in this book.
It's really a great resource book, and let's talk a little bit about some of your thoughts and ideas. What makes loss so difficult for us?
Well, I think that loss is, in many ways, a unique and individualized experience, which is to say that we experience losses in different ways. On the other hand, I think there are some commonalities. I think that, you know, one of the reasons loss is so profoundly felt is because we invest so much of ourselves in our relationships. We come to understand who we are in many ways by virtue of the relationships that we have. We love people and things and ideas and dreams that when they are taken away from us or removed from our lives, leaves us with deep voids emotionally, spiritually, relationally, and otherwise. And so I think we can only feel profound pain when we have loved someone or something. And
these deep voids, I think that's right, the suffering. But I always think of loss as kind of like a giant tantrum, too, because we've been told that we can have whatever we want if we want it enough, right?
I think that's a great point. Who doesn't want to continue to have what they love in their lives and enjoy all the benefits of that? I think it's deeply human to tantrum, as you say, when someone or something we love so profoundly is taken away.
Well, you know, for some people, I know a lot of people, well, God is, you know, and religion is helps them through the process, but what about people that are angry at God?
Yeah, I think lots of people get angry with God, and I think God recognizes that happens, and is still present through that anger, and people of faith in my tradition, which is Christianity, I think ideally are encouraged to be honest and vulnerable and own the feelings that they have, whether they see them as positive or negative toward God, with the trust and the hope that God will hang in there with them.
I found that being a Christian, that I didn't find my religion that helpful early on. I found the people at the church were the religion that really came through. So I guess God coming through people.
Yeah, and I think, again, in my own tradition, community is at the center of our faith and belief system, and so I couldn't agree with you more. I think God works in us and through us and our relationships in faith communities and also beyond faith communities. I wrote this book primarily for Christians and people who identify with Christianity, but I think that many of the things that I advocate apply beyond Christianity and even organized religion.
Heidi, you had some comment about people who want to believe. Do you want to say something about that?
Oh, people that you mean that they want to believe but that they don't believe?
Yeah.
I can't remember what my comment was.
Yeah, well, you said that you had a client who really wanted to believe, you know, in God and that God was with them.
Yes, absolutely. That, you know, before their child died, it wasn't important for them to believe in an afterlife and to believe in things. But since their child has been dead, they have a real need to believe that they're in a better place.
Right.
And that this person, they don't have a religion. And it's very difficult because they don't have this belief system set up.
So how would you say that somebody could? I know you talk about prayer in the book, and I think that's really interesting because I think there are a lot of people. I love that you talk about it and practically. That's the nice thing about this Good Morning, Getting Through Your Grief. There's some really practical ideas in here. What if I've never prayed? What do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah, I think lots of people have these kinds of questions, and I guess what I would say first is in response to Heidi's comment earlier, I think that, you know, wanting to pray or wanting to believe is oftentimes a best first step along that journey. My experience has been both personally and as a pastor and now a professor that, you know, people believe in different ways and to different degrees throughout their life journey, if you will, and I think wanting to believe is a great first step for those who haven't believed, and for those of us who have believed and at times find our beliefs ebbing and flowing, I think wanting to believe or to have a faith is helpful then as well. But as far as the way to learn how to pray, if you will, I think, you know, as I say in the book, that you learn to pray most by trying it. As important as reading about it may be, and I don't want to minimize that, I think we learn to pray by praying, and we will pray in lots of different ways and find different approaches, you know, meaningful and others perhaps not. I suggest some different approaches in the book. But
why don't you give us one or two of your favorite?
Well, in the Christian tradition, there's a very well-known prayer that is called the Lord's Prayer, or sometimes the Our Father in the Roman Catholic tradition. I suggest ways for praying that prayer in the book. Sometimes if you haven't prayed much or don't feel as though you're quite prepared to pray in your own words, I think it can be helpful to appeal to some, you know, long-established prayer in the tradition that's been helpful and allow others' words to be said for you such that they eventually may become your own words. So there are some different ways that I talk about praying the Lord's Prayer as one approach. There's another approach that's oftentimes called contemplative prayer. It's been made famous by Father Henry Nouwen and some other people, Father Tom Keating most recently. And that's a kind of prayer which is, well, more contemplative. You pick a word or a phrase or an object or an image that is meaningful to you, that in some way helps you feel a sense of the divine or the sacred or the holy.
I like that. It could be a flower. It could be looking at a candle.
It could be anything that evokes, you know, the divine for you, and you just sort of contemplate that and allow your thoughts and your feelings to center on that object or that word or that phrase, with the idea being that God works through that process to speak to you and to help you pray in ways that will be helpful.
That's a lovely idea. I never thought of that exactly as a prayer. That's nice. Do you have need a special place?
I think some people find a special place helpful. I recommend that people try to find a place in the book if they can, but I think that, you know, we can pray in lots of different places, and it's not always convenient to go to our special place to pray at any time, but I do think it's good to have a sort of place carved out that is both emotionally and spiritually and even physically a place of peace and contemplation and prayer for you.
Now,
it's interesting because I live in Midtown Manhattan, and here I am in the middle of total chaos often, and most of the churches in the city are opened.
Yeah.
And you don't have to be in that religion. You can go in and feel so peaceful and just sit at the pew, and like you said, there's candles, and meditate or pray or have a quiet moment, and it really restores you.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, for me, I love to be in churches, sanctuaries, too, but, you know, being outside in a park or, you know, in a place that's quiet and meaningful to you can work as well. So I think, you know, trying different ways that you think may be meaningful and helpful for you and your growth in faith and in prayer.
Well, we've got an email that I want to read you before we go to break. It's from Wendy, and it says, I wanted to ask, she saw that you were going to be on the show, and she said, I wanted to ask Dr. Cole if he has any suggestions for how to answer my husband when he says he will never forgive our nephew who was driving the car when our daughter was killed. He always says, why should I forgive him? He took away my life. Do you have any thoughts for Wendy on that?
Well, I think I have lots of thoughts. I think you know, what a terrible experience to, you know, lose your child with someone else being responsible for that. You know, I think forgiveness is one of those things that, again, I'll speak out of my own faith tradition because that's what I know. It's one of the things that we tend to wrestle with most, and I'm convinced that in many and maybe all cases, frankly, it's not something that we can do by ourselves or simply on our own accord, which is to say that I think we can rely on God and our faith community and our religious beliefs, if you will, to you know, urge us toward forgiveness in ways that we are taught God wants, and in fact can be ultimately redemptive for we ourselves. I, you know, both as a minister and through my clinical training, I've you know, come to believe deeply that you know, an inability to forgive oftentimes is long term one of the most destructive things that we can and do hold on to, and forgiving is not forgetting, and forgiving is not discarding responsibility or saying, you know, it doesn't matter, but it is, I think, trying to find a way to live into the transgression that you've experienced in ways that are both you know, helpful for the person who has transgressed, but also to you who maybe angry and bitter, and understandably so, but nevertheless, long term may be destroyed by those kinds of feelings.
It sounds like Wendy may have forgiven, and maybe needs to forgive her husband for not forgiving.
A nice point, and you know, easier said than done. I want to, you know, make that clear. I do think forgiveness is one of the more difficult things that human beings struggle with, and for that reason, I think it lies at the heart of many faith traditions, many religions deal with the need to forgive in different ways.
Yeah, and we had a guest on that said forgiveness is like setting a prisoner free and finding out that prisoner is you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I liked that quote.
Yeah, and we've all done things for which we want and need forgiveness, and mm-hmm. I think it can be helpful to remind ourselves of that when we're finding it, you know, difficult to forgive.
So I'm really thinking, Wendy, that maybe you do need to forgive him for not forgiving. And as they say, do it yourself and teach the world. Forgive and love him in his feeling, and he'll see the forgiveness you have. So I wanted to ask you a little bit about if you see a difference between men and women grieving when we come back from break. Maybe you can think about that a little bit. It's kind of a heavy topic.
Sure.
And also, I want to get to your five features of Good Morning and get to the Good Morning part of the book. Well, I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host, Dr. Heidi Horsley, and we're talking to Dr. Alan Cole, author of Good Morning, Getting Through Your Grief. You can reach us through thegriefblog.com as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Our shows are logged on those sites. These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. Please stay tuned for more.
A fresh look at today's health. Voice America Health and Wellness.
Who are we? What really matters? Is it possible to find true happiness after a great loss? The answers to some of life's most important questions are explored in Space Between Breaths, a powerful, uplifting film which looks at the potential in grief and to the ways it can become a motivational, transformational force in our lives. Featuring conversations with parents who have lost a child, including those whose loved ones died at Columbine on September 11th, and a mother whose son was one of the first U.S. soldiers to die in Iraq. Space Between Breaths offers an inspired and healing perspective on loss, which will transform the way you live and love. For information on ordering the film, visit the website www.spacebetweenbreaths.com.
Hello, Drs. Gloria and Heidi are pleased to announce that their new book, Teen Grief Relief, Parenting with Understanding, Support, and Guidance, published by Rainbow Books, is now available. Grief Relief can be ordered through thegriefblog.com as well as Amazon. Book orders can be made through the Book Clearinghouse at 800-431-1579. This book is a must for any family suffering a loss. Get your copy right now at thegriefreliefblog.com or amazon.com.
This is Dr. Gloria Horsley. Just a reminder to our listeners that you can own 10 of the very best Healing the Grieving Heart shows, available on CD. Our listeners tell us that they have used these shows to examine the many viewpoints of grief and to stimulate conversation on this difficult subject. Call toll-free 877-969-0010, that's 877-969-0010, to order a set or visit the CompassionateFriends.org website and click on TCF Originals for the opportunity to purchase this specially priced set at only $60 for 10 CDs plus shipping and handling. Heidi and I have donated all the proceeds to the Compassionate Friends to help bereaved families following the death of a child.
Opinions, options, answers. You're listening to Voice America Health and Wellness.
And now we rejoin Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi for our final segment of Healing the Grieving Heart, a show of hope and renewal for those who have suffered the loss of a loved one.
Welcome back to Healing the Grieving Heart. For those of you just joining us today, we are talking with Dr. Alan Cole about getting through your grief. Welcome back to the show, Alan and Gloria.
Thank you.
Thanks, Heidi. Well, I recommend that everyone get Alan's book that are going through the grieving process, or if you know of people who are, it's a wonderful resource. It's called Good Morning, Getting Through Your Grief, and you can get it through Amazon and all that, Alan?
Yes, Amazon, most of the online booksellers, and directly from Westminster John Knox Press.
Okay, and we also have it on the Grief Blog, and Alan also has a blog. Do you want to give him that?
Well, it's not a blog.
I mean, not a blog, but...
Yeah, it's a personal website, and you can find contact information if you want to email me or contact me in some other way. That's www.alanhughcole.com. allan.com.
Okay, and it's A-L-L-A-N, and also we'll have something to link to him on the grief blog. Well, when we went to break, Alan, I was saying that I would like to go over some of your five features of good mourning, because as you say, you believe that you need to stay active and engaged when dealing with loss, right?
Yes, and I should say I really learned this from William Warden, who I know has been a guest on your show before, and his tasks of mourning. He has four tasks of mourning, which I think have been really helpful and informative in my own way of thinking. But what Warden says, and what I have come to believe and have certainly seen in my experience, is that, you know, for many people, and maybe most people, mourning is an active process. And as I say to my students oftentimes, that means that it doesn't just happen by itself, but rather it takes energy, it takes, you know, a desire in some ways to mourn, and it takes effort on our part. It rarely, if ever, just kind of happens on its own. And so if that's true, then the question, you know, becomes what are some things that we can do, or how are some ways that we can engage our mourning process, if you will, to facilitate what I call good mourning in the book.
So mourning is what you consider the process. Grief is something that just happens, loss.
Yeah, I mean, I distinguish between, you know, grief and mourning, although, you know, they certainly feed into one another. And I don't think that, you know, most people would say, well, I grieved for this period of time, and then all, you know, at that point I began mourning. But I think it's helpful to keep the two processes or experiences separated, in that I think of grief as, you know, our response to a significant loss, the thoughts, feelings, behaviors, what we experience in the wake of a significant loss. And I think of mourning more in terms of how we begin to, if you will, put our lives back together, or to push forward in light of what we've lost on this side of our loss, in ways that are conducive to re-engaging in life again and enjoying life again, maybe differently than before, but nonetheless, we can be able to enjoy life again.
So you talk about receiving our loss. Talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, I speak of five ways of coping with loss, and the first one is what I call receiving the loss. And what I mean by that is, in cases of profound loss especially, you know, many people will say, it was like, you know, my world came crashing down. I was turned, you know, on my head. Life as I had known it had forever changed. It's a very disorienting experience. And I think early on, most people say that all you can really do is to endure it. That is to say, to just sort of let it come as it comes, and recognize that that's a necessary first step for most people in the mourning process.
And then we have to endure it.
To receive the loss, and then we have to endure it. That's right. That's the second.
And we all hate that.
Strategy. Yeah, and that's where we really have to sit with the pain, and even indulge the pain, if you will, in ways that doesn't, you know, feel natural or pleasant to any of us. But you know, many people who have done research in bereavement and who have, you know, experienced bereavement themselves will say in some way that you have to sit in the pit, you have to endure the loss, you have to let the pain of the loss wash over you for a period of time if you are going to begin to move out of that loss in some significant way.
Okay, and then what about adapting to it?
Adapting to the loss has to do with how do you begin to re-engage your life after you have lost. The idea being that significant losses change our lives profoundly, and in many cases forever. Such that life as we've known it, our routines, our relationships, our abilities to work, concentrate, etc., are altered, and we have to go through a process of adapting to life again, or maybe readapting in light of our new circumstances.
And what about relocating? That's an interesting word.
Mm-hmm. Relocating has to do with what I like to call finding a place for what you have lost, an emotional place or a spiritual place, if you will, which means moving what you've lost maybe out of the front and center of your life, but not severing your ties to what you have lost in any way, but rather just relocating it such that you can visit that loss or sojourn with the loss, which is the fifth coping strategy that I suggest. You can go to that place, if you will, where your loss continues to live and to be present, but you don't have to be there all the time. It doesn't have to be the all-consuming experience of your life such that you can begin to re-engage in life.
Then you say with sojourn, I'm going to read a little bit from your book, or we may sojourn when visiting a gravesite, looking at pictures or other tokens of life shared, various faith rituals like prayer, scripture reading, worship, and communion all allow for sojourning for our loss. So I think religion plays such a wonderful part in the sojourn, doesn't it?
Well, I think so. It's certainly been my experience. And, these rituals and these sacred, acts that many people of faith do oftentimes will tie into their most significant life experiences, including profound loss. As a pastor, I can't tell you how many times people would say to me during the Eucharist or communion that was a time when they really felt connected with their loved ones and those they had lost in ways that otherwise they didn't. So,
well, thank you, Alan Cole, for being on the show. It's been wonderful, and I highly recommend your book. And also thanks to Chris Mulligan for being on our show. It's time to close our show now, and please stay tuned again next week when we'll hear from Dr. John Grierden, Executive Director of the University of Michigan Depression Center, and Eric Hipple, former quarterback of the Detroit Lions. We'll be talking about Real Men Do Cry, a quarterback's inspiring story of tackling depression and surviving suicide loss. This show is archived on our blog, thegriefblog.com, as well as the Compassionate Friends website. Thanks for listening. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley. Thank you, Chris and Alan, for helping people find peace after a loss.
You have been listening to Dr. Gloria and Dr. Heidi Horsley on Healing the Grieving Heart, heard live every Thursday at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on health.voiceamerica.com and worldtalkradio.com. Healing the Grieving Heart is archived on thegriefblog.com as well as the CompassionateFriends.org websites. Tune in again next week, and thanks for listening.